Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode.
JT, do you know why I'm angry?
Because of the thing I did.
Yes, but you know why I'm really angry?
No.
Look, you're funny, okay? But you're also very intelligent, and you're just wasting it by always being the class clown. Just wasting it.
Well, then I'll just stop wasting your time. I'll transfer out of your class.
Well, you do whatever it is you need to do.
Got it bad. I'm hot for Narbos. I got it bad, so bad. I'm hot for Broomheads. Hey, everybody. It's Alan here. You're listening to Narbos and Broomheads. We're going to talk about Hot for Teacher during this this latest episode featuring all of your usual friends who I'm going to introduce in a second. But you can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, on TikTok, @SlipWith5Eyes or Slip. And you can find this podcast @NarbosAndBroomheads on Twitter. And I'm hot for Barry. So, Barry, it's over to you.
Wow. You can at least buy me a drink first. Or should I buy you a drink first? I don't know.
Either way, buddy.
Hi, I'm Barry, the unvaccinated one. And I am coming to you live from Portugal Cove, Newfoundland. And you can follow me on Twitter @BarryRFlynn. I am getting vaccinated Tuesday, though, so soon I'll be able to join all the cool kids here at Narbos and Broomheads.
Maybe they just figured because you grew up in the AIDS capital of Canada, you can't catch COVID.
You're immune to everything. Yeah,
if I haven't got AIDS by now, there's no way I'm getting COVID either. So it only makes sense.
COVIDs. I think I coined that term earlier this season.
Yes, I think you did, yeah. So let's throw it over to my Newfoundland and trivia brethren, Mr. Torbay.
Guess who's vax? That's right. You heard right. It's apparently on this episode. It's David Lee Roth who opened the show, and yours, Mr. Marshall Mathers. No, I'm just kidding. It's me, Ted. So on your bingo cards, if you had me as the fourth person?
Yep.
The second, the penultimate person to get vaccinated? I'm there, baby. My name's Ted. I'm on the internet. Come find me. Say Wathery. And hello, everyone. So let's see. Who's at the? Who's down in the town, the O-Town that they call it? Have we introduced her yet?
I don't think so. Have we? I was just remembering right how everybody refers to you as the Marshall Mathers of Torbay. Forgot about that.
Oh, I know. All the children.
He has cameos.
Yeah. I dress up for kids' birthdays. Yeah,
let's buy Rube Dog a cameo. Ted, Newfoundland's Marshall Mathers.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Ted Azewadri. I'm Newfoundland's Marshall Mathers. I hope you have a happy sweet 16 birthday, Brittany, or whoever. See,
that's $100, please.
Worth it.
Yeah.
I actually, hi, I'm Courtney. I actually was, I get the Cameo ads popping up on my Facebook, and there was a Tom Cruise one. And I was like, what? Tom Cruise is on Cameo? So, of course, I clicked it. And no, it's a Tom Cruise impersonator. And he's charging like $75 to do a Cameo.
I mean, I'll dance in the hallway in my briefs in the Cameo for you for like $10 if you want.
Deal.
Dee, 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 dee. Oh, has Bob Seger joined the podcast too? This is crazy.
Oh my goodness.
All the stars here. Rock and
roll All star episode. Holy moly. Anyways, yeah. Courtney here in Ottawa. I'm actually podcasting from my back deck tonight because it's beautiful here. It's like 24 degrees.
Gentle Lord. We can hear the boids.
I know. I keep muting myself so you didn't have to hear all those tweet tweets. But yeah, nothing much going on. No COVID updates here. We're just like suffering through lockdown and homeschooling. And that's my life right now. So Instagram, Courtney.12.93 and our podcast, Narbos and Broomheads Podcast on Instagram. I have posted one post.
No, you did two posts in the last week, didn't you? You did Mother's Day post with Kathleen's mom.
Yes. So. I hope somebody found that funny because I did.
So because we're doing Hot for Teacher, we thought we'd bring on an expert in the art of teaching and somebody who
and
we are all
and hotness.
Yeah, we're all hot for. Tim, are you out there?
I am, and then you realize that teacher wouldn't come on, so you just decided to choose a teacher and not me.
We're like, oh, Tim teaches.
when Alan emailed me to say I was going to come on, he first said it might be a male only, and then he said it was just Arlo, and now we've got Tom Seger and Cruz and Marshall Mathers all here today too. It's a full house.
Bob Seger's brother, Tom Seger's
Well, that was the impersonator.
He's also the impersonator.
Yeah, that's exactly
he's
it.
He's on Cameo too.
There's also Don Seger. It's a nice trio. So. Yeah.
There's also Bob Saget. It's like he's not related, but he's kind of funny, so get him on here too.
Tim, what are all your social medias?
I just have Twitter, and you can follow me at FaultyT, F-A-U-L-T, F-A-U-L-Y-T, excuse me. Other than that, I don't have any other stuff.
And,
but I'm happy to be on.
And you are half-vaxxed, right? Like the rest
of
us, except for...
I am half-vaxxed and full of fury and just ready to take on the world.
Teaching from home?
Did you get the AstraZeneca or did you get the cool vaccines?
We only do the higher-end stuff here in Oakville. I got Pfizer.
Got it, yeah.
Yeah, I had to scrape some AstraZeneca out of the sewer and shoot it in me, so...
Me too. I took the extra.
Alan, I've been impressed with your saltiness on Twitter recently. You've been firing on all guns.
About our government?
Yeah, just I think in just everything. Birds and things on your front lawn, too.
I missed the birds.
Fucking hate birds.
Tweet, 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 tweet. You're like Ben Stiller on Friends.
Yeah.
That's why Courtney's outside, so with all them birds. Just to piss off Alan.
Yeah, if you want to see salty, miserable Twitter, go to Slip with Five Eyes, everybody. It's a real fun time.
But yeah, super simple process here, like in and out in 15 minutes. And yeah, it was actually really, really smooth.
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
Sorry, dude. That's not funny. It is, though.
It's all good. Yeah. It's COVID. I'm actually very excited. I haven't been out with Tim before, so I'm looking forward to it.
I know. I was going to say, this is Barry's like my pokeroo.
That's right. I do exist. I am not also Ted, as people have many times thought I was.
Or Tim. But they call me Tim sometimes. Or Todd.
Or Terry. And Terry and Ben.
Yep. I bought Joey's car.
Remember? For parts.
So we're covering Hot for Teacher today. I mean, we could do it just by me reading the synopsis from the Degrassi wiki, which is pretty classic, and then call it an episode. Here's what they said on the Degrassi wiki. This is everything about this episode. JT has a crush on his teacher, Miss Hatzilakos. Everybody makes fun of him for being a teacher's pet. In class, JT stands up to the bullies and makes fun of his teacher, but she soon finds out. When JT gets detention for a week, they bond considerably. He then helps her when the guinea pig gives birth. The end.
All right. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah.
Bye. Been doing around all day.
Well, I.
Yeah, that's it. So, yeah, so that's, and that's all that the Degrassi wiki gives us for this episode. But I mean, is there really a lot to chew on in this one?
Oh my God. When I get done sort of watching these, I usually write something down beside the title just to remind myself what I thought. And all I wrote beside this one was, ugh. It's painful.
You're in the right place.
Yeah.
I don't think it won any Geminis.
I got the most horrible thing that happened to me this week. I took my notes because I'm hosting this episode, and I went to send them, and on my iPhone, it was like, could not send to Hotmail, and my notes were gone, and I had to watch it again.
Oh my God.
Oh.
Yep.
Just spend this episode talking about that, because it's probably more interesting.
Yeah, it's just like, I give up. Like, let's just skip this one.
Like, it's one of those times where, like, the show is feeling the weight of the extra episodes that it has to film or something, because, like, I actually thought about it. This is the 40th episode of TNG, which puts you into, like, the third season of Junior High. So maybe they're just like, we got nothing.
We out.
And funny enough, I looked up what was the 40th episode of Degrassi Junior High, and believe it or not, it was that dog shit season's greetings episode.
Oh, meant to be.
So maybe they get to 40 and they just, we got to recharge. We got nothing.
I mean, isn't that how we all feel about 40?
Maybe, there you go.
Yeah. Well,
it's dog shit.
I mean, we're going to try to do our best. So don't turn off the podcast, everybody, because we're going to have tons of fun reviewing this one. And things will pick up as we get along in the season. But Hot for Teacher, of course, named after the Van Halen song, which is just like, what, the most misogynistic music video of all time? I don't know if mm-hmm. any of you have seen it, remember it.
Rod Stewart's wife was in it.
Really?
I believe so.
Was she one of the teachers?
Yeah, she was one of the teachers. Give a time to my She was the one when he's doing the scatting, she jumps up on the table. She's wearing, I believe, is it a trench coat? And then she whips off, and she all of a sudden the desks become a catwalk, and she starts modeling. And the boys, who are probably 11 years old, are like oogling her, and they're dressed up as the band.
Yeah,
and they're like, catcalling her and stuff like that, and everybody's supposedly having fun. It is literally probably the most misogynistic video, but a speaks of the times, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't.
It kind of does. So the idea is that, like, children Van Halen members are going to school with sexy teachers, mm-hmm. and then at the end of the video, we find out what those children all grew up to be. They did not form a band, apparently. Alex Van Halen grew up to be a gynecologist.
Oh, shut up. Really?
Yeah. Michael Anthony became a sumo wrestler. Eddie Van Halen grew up to be a psychiatric, psychiatric hospital. Actually, the Wikipedia doesn't tell me what happened to the other ones. So fuck the other members of Van Halen. Well, there's only one more. There was Alex. So... Mm-hmm. Alex became the drummer of Van Halen, everybody. And his brother died last year. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting about the sumo wrestling, because we talk about sumo wrestling in the next episode, I guess.
Next episode? Yes, there is. Yeah, it's the next one.
Oh, okay, too bad. Yeah. It would have been a great connection.
I guess let's dive right into this, shall we? What do you think?
Let's do it.
Oh, I did have one more question. Did Rod Stewart only have one wife, or like, did he have like multiple?
You think about that.
Over the years.
Rod the Bod.
Okay. I thought so.
I believe he had many.
Okay.
On his Wikipedia page, let me just find the section on personal life. Does it even say? Oh, maybe it doesn't say.
I should have asked how many wives. Because you said Rod Stewart's wife, and I was like,
Oh, here we go.
I think anybody who listens.
Rod Stewart has been married 3 times. He is currently married to Penny Lancaster Stewart, but he has children with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 women. So there you go.
Nice. There you go.
And there's more for sure.
Yeah. Stars. If you want the body and you think I'm sexy.
Ted, he was the guy that was here recently, or not recently, in the last 5 years or something. Everyone was shitting on him because he wore a sealskin coat at the concert. Is that right?
Well,
that was him, right?
Yeah, he put up on like Facebook or Instagram. He went down to a place that sells fur, like seal fur, and the internet went crazy. And they're like, "What are you doing?" But I don't know. Yeah, so people just freaked out and lost their shit over it. So, then he took it down, and then he apologized. So I was like, "Okay, whatever, dude."
If you want to see a Winnipeg legend, type into your search engines right now, Rod Peeler. P-E-E-L-E-R.
I can only imagine.
Just take a look.
Oh, my goodness. I just did.
Oh, my. Wow.
Famous real estate agent in Winnipeg. Yep.
And a singer on the local band, guitar player.
Yep.
He never sleeps.
So, and his catchphrase is, quote, "I never sleep." Wow.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Yeah. Do yourselves a favor, everybody. Yeah.
Rod Peeler, everybody. And if you're in Winnipeg, buy a house from him. Apparently at 3 a.m. because he never sleeps.
Not sure that white blazer.
Morning from the looks of his face now.
All right. Here we go. Hot for Teacher. The 15th episode in Season 2 of Degrassi The Next Generation aired in Canada on January 10th, 2003, but those poor folks in the States had to wait 6 more months, July 25th, 2003, to watch this one. Oh. Poor them.
Poor people.
This was written by Jana Senor and Claire Ross Dunn. It took 2 people to write this. The teleplay was by Sean Jarrah. It was directed by our pal Phil Earnshaw. So it's a Toby and JT. Well, it's really a JT storyline, which again is just already, come on. Like, unless it's a B storyline or he's dying, who cares? Spoiler alert. Anyways, so.
Oh, no.
Miss Hatzilakos, is talking to the class about the physics of attraction and repulsion. And while she's doing this, there is a little model of a mastodon sitting on the desk. And so we see, like, this hand reach up and grab it. And then the mastodon is running around, and it's JT, and he's making jokes. He's like, "Hey, Toby, I'm a mastodon. Will you be my friend?" And over to Emma and Manny as well. And then he takes 2 models, and this is probably the highlight of the episode, as he does a puppet show with 2 mastodon models, which ends with them fucking. And JT is making huffing noises. He's like, "Oh, oh, oh." So... anything?
That actually made me laugh out loud. That was funny. Very funny.
Nothing else about the mastodon jokes, anyone? All right.
Come on, it's dinosaurs humping, guys.
Yeah. This is all in the middle of the class, by the way. It's shocking to me that Miss H took this long to catch him. Like, she should have just stopped him right away. But he gets a week of guinea pig duty after school with her, and this makes JT so horny.
And swing. Total boner.
Because the big thing here is that Miss H is a buxom blonde teacher, right?
Very buxom.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'd never had a teacher even close to as hot as she is. So I feel JT.
Did anyone?
Well, I was going to ask, did anybody have what they would have considered a hot teacher in high school or elementary school?
I did. My teacher's Tim.
Oh, who's this character? This young lady.
I go to Oakville High.
Where do you go, young lady?
But I only have it's a secret crush because there'd never be anything inappropriate because, you know. Anyways.
Oh, you just hit puberty, young lady.
I did not have a teacher that I thought was like that I was into in my school.
Like, you never had a crush on a teacher?
I think looking back now, I'm like, yeah, I guess some of those teachers were attractive, but at the time I just, wasn't feeling it.
We very much had one at my high school. Very, very much. You could ask anybody when I was there and they would say all the same name. But one of the senior kids, so when I would, it was, she was sort of around when I was in grade, I guess maybe 10 or 11, but one of the grade 12 or OAC kids actually sang her a song in the hallway.
Was it a sea shanty?
Well, it might have well have been because she wanted nothing to do with it.
Was it you?
But so years later, I found out that she was removed from the teaching profession for the one thing that you're not supposed to do with your students.
Oh, boy. Oh.
And I ended up running into her as a waitress at one of the places back home when we went out for dinner one time. I thought, that looks like the teacher. And sure enough, we were able to find out it was actually her. I thought, wow, she has she still looks great, but she has fallen.
Oh, my gosh.
I guess that's what happens.
I believe she had a kid with a former student.
Oh, boy.
That is the worst thing you can do, I think.
So, yeah. Play the other way around, Tim. Is if a student never had a crush on you, do you think?
Not a day goes by, Barry.
That's right. I don't have to. You're breaking hearts and taking names every day.
Yeah. It's targeting through the hallways. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure at some point when I was younger teaching, maybe it happened, but nothing that was ever brought to my attention, let's say.
Right
on. Which is probably for the best. Like, would you want to know?
No, and that's a thing in this episode, right? Like she wants to know all these.
No, I never had any crushes on any teachers, nor did I think any of them were hot. And thinking back, I can't really put my head or my thumb on somebody that I would considered. I see them as teachers, not as objects.
That's good. That's
the most... people too, Barry.
That's right. My dad was a teacher too, by the way. Let me say that for the record.
My mom was a teacher. So JT shows up at school in the morning. He checks himself out on the reflection in the glass door before he gets let in. And he goes to Miss H's class. And we just get the shot of her bare legs crossed as she's in the chair. He does the whole lean up on the door. And is like, hello. And she's like, let's go feed guinea pigs. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. She wants to give them water. He's in the way of the sink. He moves out of the way. She goes to get something from under the sink. He does the whole drop the pen trick. He's like, did you drop your pen? She's like, no. the guinea pigs, there are three of them. They're named Jasper, Bismarck, and Isabella.
What stupid names.
The super like German guinea pig. Bismarck.
Bismarck.
Yeah, yeah. Just wants to take over the other guinea pig's cages. So he is holding Isabella and he's like, oh, she's a big ball of fluff, a fat ball. And Miss H is like, yeah, she's gotten bigger. And she's perplexed. And I'm like, she's fucking pregnant. Like, you're a teacher.
A science teacher.
Yeah, like, what could it be?
Locked in the cage with Bismarck. What do you expect?
Bismarck's like, I'm going to invade that pussy. So, so.
Oh, Jesus.
So, JT is holding the guinea pig, and he seems to be enjoying it. And from this, Miss H is like, oh, do you want to be a veterinarian? Like,
what the fuck is this?
Yeah, like if I'm walking in the park and I like pet a dog that walks by, I don't want to be a vet.
I don't hand someone a cough drop and they all of a sudden wonder if I'm a doctor.
So he says he tried it once, but there aren't enough recipes and I love meat. So
Oh.
He admits that he's only joking. He knows the difference between veterinarian and vegetarian. So now we're in Snake's class, and Sean asks JT how his quality time with Miss Hot Sauce was. So I guess that's her name, Hot Sauce, which doesn't really work.
I mean, it's as good as vegetarian veterinarian, so...
JT wants to lie, and he's like, yeah, I dropped my pen, and he's trying to show what he did, and he actually drops his pen, but then Snake walks by and picks the pen up. And unfortunately, I thought we would get like a gratuitous ass shot as a joke, but we didn't. He just picks it up. And he tells Sean and Toby that they couldn't imagine the things that he saw. And I'm like, What do they think happened? Like, do they think they fucked? Like, what? They showed her boobs? Like, what do they think happened? Seriously.
Well, we actually don't put our clothes on until the kids come to class anyway, so maybe, maybe she's naked.
So then we have, oh, here we go. I'd like to call this the B plot. It's more like what, the E plot? The F plot?
I mean, the main plot is the B plot. So this is, yeah, it's like, this is like the Z plot.
Mr. Armstrong is working with Spinner, and he asks Spinner what a sexogram is. And I said, that's a note that I send to Courtney every night.
Nice.
Ah, I love a good sexogram.
Spinner says it's the thing with six sides, and he's corrected and told it's a hexagram. And they look over the work. He kind of comes around the desk, and he's looking at the work with Armstrong. And it's clear from Armstrong's reaction that Spinner stinks.
I could be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure that hexagram, the Latin way to say hexagram, is sexagram. I think Spinner was right. I think it's legit. I think that is what that thing is called.
Good job, Spinner.
Like, if you look up sexagram, I'm pretty sure it'll tell you it's a hexagram. It's a Latin word.
Okay, like, I'll Google it. Sexogram. Let's see what comes
sexogram.
Up.
Sexagram. Sexagram. I'm pretty sure it's right. I think I looked it up.
There's a video called Sexagram.
Like a Star of David.
There is a movie. It's on IMDb called Sexagram.
Well, I'm sure there's one of those.
From 1986.
It says hexagram is Greek, sexagram is Latin. A six-pointed geometric star figure.
There you go.
That was right.
You Armstrong.
Yeah, fuck you, Armstrong.
Get your shit together.
Seriously.
So Ashley and Ellie are sitting there, and they're wondering if they should talk to Spinner. And Ellie says honesty doesn't hurt. So she goes up to him and says, rule number one of puberty, shower every day, like a little jerk. Also, Ellie has three ponytails because she's alternative. Spinner,
that's bullshit.
Some healthy bangs, too.
So Spinner leaves class and he sees Drake and he asks Drake if he stinks. And Drake says, yeah, you've smelled bad all week. Spinner asks why Drake didn't tell him. Drake says, I didn't want to hurt your feelings. Spinner says he wants the truth from now on. And Drake grabs him and yells, you can't handle the truth. And Spinner does not get the reference.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It is really tough to tell someone something really offensive.
Courtney, right? You're a jerk. Like,
I mean, not for you, Alan. It's very easy for you, but I don't know.
Happy to do.
Yeah. He takes
as a phys ed teacher, like, there's lots of times where kids will come running by and you'll catch a whiff and you're thinking, oh man, like, we got to talk about this.
And do you?
Yeah, you got to go over and just sort of pull them aside when you get a chance to just say, man, you just kind of smell today. Make sure you're using that deodorant. That's kind of where you leave it at for now.
Yeah. Like, I feel like it's nice to do it, but it's just hard to be nice about doing it.
Yeah.
I just say, let him be stinky.
No way. You wouldn't do that to your friend. Well, you would, but I mean, a nice person wouldn't do that to their friend. It's just hard to just be like, hey, you're smelly.
Well, Spinner decides that him and Drake are going to make a pact to tell the truth to each other, which Drake says, sure, whatever, which I guess means they have a pact now. And then Spinner goes to the water fountain and washes his armpit.
And is thoroughly disgusted by this.
Yeah, it's the way to do it.
Wow.
Ew.
It's the perfect height.
Pretty conveniently wearing a sleeveless shirt today, too.
So, Armstrong is now teaching math, and this is to the grade eights. JT is cracking jokes in the class, and Toby says JT has a new girlfriend. And Emma says, oh, is it Liberty? Finally. And Toby says, no, it's Miss Hatzilakos. Emma says, that's typical. And Manny says, it's so JT, it's mature and dumb. Like this, well, this episode isn't mature, it's just dumb. Then he says, what's wrong with a younger girl or younger guy and an older woman or older woman? And Manny does the rule. Is everybody aware of this rule? Were you aware of it before Manny raised it?
Oh, yeah.
I heard it before, but I had forgotten this.
What's
but
the rule?
Now I remembered.
So you're allowed to date. If you want to figure out how young you're allowed to date, you take your age, divide it by 2, and add 7. And that's the youngest you can go.
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm aware of that. What is it again? Take your age, divide it by 2.
Add 7.
Add 7. All right. So what's our limit? Oh, yeah. 28. I can date a 28-year-old dude.
Yeah, I'm 26.
26.
Nice.
Everybody can do reverse math and figure out our ages now. So that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a 28.
Yeah.
Tell a 28.
Yeah, lots of 28-year-olds out there. Hello.
Hey, call us. narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com.
So, yeah, so that's the rule that they explain. They speculate that that makes Miss H's dating age 22 because they figure she's 30. And it's also interesting to note that Emma is involved in yet another conversation about a student fucking a teacher.
You sound like a news reporter.
Well, Ashley is reading a paper to class. I didn't catch the whole thing, but it ends with her saying, "A shadow of black, empty, despairing nothingness."
Autumn leaves, dying leaves.
Dying very leaves. Much
so. The longest stared into the soul of the eclipse, saw the world for what it was, a shadow of black, empty, despairing nothingness.
Is that your poem?
Not mine. That's Ashley doing her Claude.
Spinner and Drake are kind of like, Spinner says, "Wow, happy." Drake makes a wrist-slitting motion, which is really great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell us how you really...
Yeah, Miss Kwan asks for thoughts, and Drake says it was poetic. But Spinner's like, "Dude, you have to be honest," which I don't understand because they don't have a pact with everybody.
Yeah, this happened like off air. I don't know where this came from.
So Drake says Ashley was trying too hard to be profound and lost the story, and it sounded like a suicide note. And Ashley says, "I wouldn't expect a conformist to understand." Ugh.
I do my monologue or nothing.
You're a bunch of sheep.
JT is in the hallway, and Miss H shouts out to him and says she wants to show him something, and he walks past Sean and says, "I'll bet she does," because this teacher is just a piece of ass to all of them. She shows him Isabella, and she says, "Oh, I thought about what you said, and yeah, she's pregnant." Like, good job, teach. She felt the babies in her stomach, and she gets him to feel them as well. And then all of a sudden, JT is super duper interested in guinea pigs. He wants to do research on their diet and what else they need, and like, yeah. And Miss H knows nothing, apparently, about taking care of classroom pets. He's like, "I'll do all the research." And she's like, "Good, because I'm busy."
I haven't raised these already.
Yeah. That's good. They've just been sitting in their cages unfed for the most of the school year. So
just showed up and they were here.
JT is on a computer in media immersion. Emma walks in and asks why he's there on lunch hour. He is searching for guinea pig, G-I-N-Y, pig. She corrects him. Should be worth noting, I'm sure Google would totally do the correction.
Does anybody think this looked like one of those CD-ROMs we had when we were younger? Like, I don't know, what was it called? Encyclopedia Britannica CD-ROM? Like, it didn't look like he was on the internet.
Encarta?
Yeah. Encarta? Yeah, maybe that was the one.
Holy crap, I forgot about Encarta.
Remember, I always remember just searching up because you could see videos, and you're like, holy shit, there's videos on these things? It's like the best technology in the world is in these encyclopedias.
You can't get better than this, guys. Wow.
This is the pinnacle of technology.
Yeah, we reached the peak.
Like, I could literally go on to a Wikipedia page now and edit something goofy into it. Like, that's the pinnacle of technology.
It's true. Yeah. You can't get better than that.
So we're back in science class. Miss H is showing the effects of a negative charge, and she's doing this by getting Manny to run balloons in her hair. And while this is happening, Armstrong comes to her door to speak with her. Sean says, it looks like JT's girlfriend has a boyfriend. And JT says, Armstrong is married, to which Sean replies, yeah, but Miss H isn't. And I don't know what that means. Like, if she's not married, it doesn't count, I guess, if you cheat. I don't know.
That's the rule.
Yeah. So they do it in Wasaga Beach.
It's not an area code.
Are you married? Yes. Are you married? No. Perfect.
JT says she's not like that, and Sean and Toby say it was a joke, and JT used to make jokes, and Toby copies JT's Mastodon joke, and JT's like, cut it out. I want to concentrate. So they call him Liberty. Liberty, who they call him that, and Liberty nowhere to be seen in this episode. They ask when he's also going to be getting his own cage, and so that's it. JT snaps, and he decides to give himself fake tits by stuffing two balloons in his shirt.
Yep, classic.
Yeah, he does a Miss H. And I mean, now do you put the? I guess you got the balloons at your disposal, so you put them in your shirt. There's also the pulling the nipples of your shirt outward technique. There's also the putting your arms in the t-shirt and pushing them out from your chest technique. So JT has chosen
the... you made fun of a lot of big-breasted women in your time in school, Alan?
No, I honored is how I like to think of it.
Oh, you honored them. Well-versed
in the methods.
Yeah. So he starts doing, I guess, a Miss H impression, which includes taking Toby's head... and making Toby motorboat him.
That motorboat son of a bitch.
You did it. You did it.
And again, JT's an idiot. Like, this is the second time where he's fucking around in a situation where you're going to get caught, dude. Like, you're not being secretive at all. You're just, you know, you're just right out there with your bullshit. So Miss H comes back into the class and clearly sees what he's doing. And, we got the scene where like Toby's head is in JT's boobs, but did anybody notice that Toby also has his hands on them?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah. It's not like he's like JT's pushing his head in the balloons and Toby's arms are down by his sides. He's got his arms up grabbing the sides of them too. So yeah. I think he liked it.
Even throughout this whole storyline, you know, you harken back to the old episodes where it was mostly girls in the original Degrassi who had crushes on male teachers. I don't recall if we ever had a male, like a boy student having a crush on a female teacher back in the original series.
Not in the original.
I don't think so either.
Well, we had Miss Avery, and I guess Caitlin had a crush on her. Okay.
That's different. But I mean, it is an interesting storyline in the sense that like if the roles were reversed and it was like a male teacher and the female student was the one who had a crush on him, like you think that they'd allow her to like, you know, shove a balloon down her pants and be like, oh yeah, look at me, I'm Mr. Armstrong. Right? Like, it wouldn't work the other way. Like, it's only okay because it's a girl teacher and a guy student. Like,
the greatest idea in the world that you just had.
Balloon down there. Someone would think you had a hernia. I wouldn't think you had a leg.
All of you. Gosh, have two balloons down and be like, look at my big balls, huh? I'm Mr. Armstrong.
Do you look?
Thanks, sir.
But... It is really interesting to point out how that would not fly if it was reversed. Like, there's no way.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Alan. Isn't there a storyline that comes up with one of the female characters sort of getting interested in a male teacher or something?
A couple of seasons down the road, yes, there is.
Is it that far up? Oh, okay.
There's a newer one with a female student and a male teacher, and then there's one a little later with a female student and a male teacher.
And are they ever as comical as they portray it in this scene?
None of them are comical.
Exactly.
No, they're pretty serious.
Exactly. It's only okay when it's a female teacher. It's only okay to make fun of her.
Well, I mean, I was going to say he gets in trouble, but I guess he doesn't, right? She's just, as we go through the rest of the episode, she's just not happy with him. Like, he's not punished for this.
She's just disappointed.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, when it's the other way around, it's always, like, traumatic and awful. And when it's the female teacher, it's like, boobs. Blah, 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 blah. You know?
You nailed it.
Only so much. There's only so much prop comedy you can do with balloons, though. You either got boobs, a big ass, or you got a big gut. Like,
okay, but there's other
props. You can't shove them down your front. If you have jogging pants, though, probably. And you're like, these nuts. Maybe.
Listen.
I'm just trying to think about the ways.
We've already seen examples of boners and jogging pants in this series. Like, we've seen Spinner have a big boner. So don't blame it on the props.
I mean, he had a boner. I didn't realize it was big, Courtney.
did I say big?
Sure did. All right, then.
Anyways, pointing it out, I wish Arlo was here.
So
carry on.
Speaking of Spinner and his big dick, he is talking with Drake. Drake is upset because... he's pissed off Ashley, and he thought that they were really close to reconnecting, and it's been ruined with this honesty pact that is not between Drake and Ashley, so why is this Spinner's fault? But then Ashley sees Drake and says, you know, I went home, and I reviewed my paper, and you know what? I agreed with you, and I made some changes to it, and I think it's really great. I really like the new Drake. Like, what? All of that is dumb.
Yeah, like, what's going on here?
Like,
well, he's not a conformist anymore.
I just want to write down, like, for it's like 1 minute of 1 minute of things that will never happen, like in real life. So this convinces Drake that it's all honesty all the time, and Spinner's like, yeah, and since we're being honest, don't get back together with Ashley. And I mean, that's actually very good advice, I think.
Mm-hmm. If it was coming from someone else, it'd be more credible. It is good advice, but.
Toby finds Miss Hats, or sorry, JT finds Miss Hatzilakis in the quad, and he goes over to her, and she's got earphones on and is reading a magazine, and he gets her attention. He apologizes. She says thank you, and then just goes back to her book. And JT's like, "That's it? Yeah, dude. Like, get the fuck out of there.
We're not friends."
Yeah. She says that she's angry because he's funny, but also very intelligent, but he's wasting it by always being a class clown. And he says, so to all this, he says to her, "I'll stop wasting your time and transfer out of your class," to which she replies, "Whatever you need to do."
What
is happening here?
What? Seriously, what is happening?
How late in the school year is this?
I mean, we're past the halfway point of the season.
Can you just transfer out of classes like this? I don't know why high school you couldn't.
Well, I don't think in grade 8 you can. They're only in grade 8.
Like, what's he going to do? Like, during her class, go to the gym and shoot around baskets? Like, just free period, baby?
But also, like, I get that he's been a little dick, but, like, you're the fucking teacher. Like, you can't be like, sounds good, kid. Get the fuck out. Like...
Yeah, I'm trying to read my Cosmo. Peace.
Radish to drop the paperwork.
Again, you know why this is so fucked up? It's because Aaron not involved in this episode.
That is right. Aaron.
It is 100% right.
The glue that holds us together.
It's so true. He's the new Johnny B.
So Drake is on the computer writing a list of things that he doesn't like about Spinner. I believe I took a photo of this. I'm trying to...
I really hope you did. And also, who does this?
Here is the list that we see. We get from number 7 onward. Always late, talks in movies, picks teeth in public, clumsy, makes stupid jokes, not funny, thinks he's all that, uses way too much mustard, never washes gym clothes, cheap.
Like, married couples go through, like, 5 years of therapy to get to the point where they can do this. That is not something that happens in high school.
Have you ever tried a truth pact? I don't know. If you have a truth pact, maybe it's easy to do.
I guess I've never tried a truth pact.
Yeah, come on, Courtney.
Sorry.
Where did you grow up?
In reality?
There was one at the top, too. I couldn't make it out. It was like the Nan or the Hun or something like that.
Yeah.
I couldn't read it.
Never visits my Nan? Is that it? That's the Newfoundland version. Never comes to visit my Nan.
Come over and see Nanny.
Hey. You know, like, come on, Nan, make your piece of toast.
Mm-hmm. Cup of tea.
Terry says writing this list is a bad idea. And Drake's like, don't make me write a list about you, Terry.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shut her right up.
Yeah. So she leaves.
Number one, never minds her own business. I think we should.
It's actually what he said, I think. Yeah.
Oh my god.
So
I never noticed how much they're using a computer lab in this show, like on their own time. Like this doesn't happen in schools.
And like for bullshit, like it's not schoolwork writing a list of the shit you hate about your friend.
Look how far we've come. They would have just put that on their phone.
Yeah. So we got JT. This is after school. He goes to Miss H's class, and the door is locked, but he sees that Isabella is out of her cage because Miss H is stupid and left the cages open.
Seriously, what an idiot.
So
well, now we know how the damn guinea pig got pregnant.
Yeah, clearly.
So she's leaving the school and he stops her and he's like, you know, I need to see you. And she's like, I'm leaving. And he explains what's happened. And then she's like, okay, let's go see what happens. And so they go into the class and they try to catch this guinea pig and it's hijinks.
I haven't noticed.
It's fucking Yakety Sax Jinx. What
it is. Did you guys catch that scene? It was really quick, but there was like a little tiny ladder that like came up against the guinea pig, and then this lady with a beret climbed up it, and she had this little tiny like baby guinea pig thing, and she's like, huh? This is your baby. It was really quick. I'm not sure if you got it, but it was there.
Don't go in there.
Oh, wait. No, she had like five babies because it's a guinea pig. She's like, these are your babies.
Don't kill your babies. Don't eat your baby. Because I think guinea pigs, do they eat their babies? I don't know.
What?
We had a cat that used to do that to its kittens.
Eat? A cat?
Jeez.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. See?
Used to bite his heads off.
What? You're lying.
What?
No. What? You're lying.
No, I'm not. One of our cats in our barn growing up used to bite the heads off the kittens. It would always get pregnant, always had kittens, and it would bite the heads off some of them and not the other ones. And we always kind of thought maybe she knew she could only support like two. So she's like, well, circle of life.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. But yeah,
Darwin, bitch.
Yeah, he's not a nice cat.
Don't okay, eat
I'm
your
baby. I'm googling
babies.
That because don't bite your baby's heads off.
While
cat
you're
biting heads off. Kittens. I mean,
it would be easier if you just put cats eating kittens. You're being very specific.
Oh, you know? Sorry.
Well, while you're looking, like Isabella hides under a desk in the classroom. So JT and Miss H are just going to hang out while they wait for this guinea pig to get out. And JT is kind of relieved. He's like, she found a dark spot to have her babies. But Miss H is like, the janitors put rat poison all over the school.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
I don't know. Like
those Toronto rats.
Yeah. Like, Tim, do you put rat poison? Like, is there rat poison all over schools? Is this a thing?
No, we do get mice from time to time, but I highly doubt there'd ever be rat poison. We wouldn't be allowed to leave poison just everywhere.
Yeah, like
I was going to say, like, that's not possible.
Did you find out about cats?
And some of the kids in school could probably take that poison and convert it into meth for all I know.
Yeah. Like, there's no
oh,
fucking
fuck
way.
Yeah. Or teachers, if you watch
Breaking Bad.
That's true.
So, Courtney, cats eating babies?
They do. They cats do this to their young when they don't think they're fit enough to take care of them. Mm. They don't, or they don't think the kittens will make it. So if it's a runt or something,
or when they
Darwin at its finest,
when they look extra tasty.
The dark
tasty.
World knows barns. Sometimes I'll tell you.
Mm. Yum.
That shit barn life. That's
hashtag.
So
let's get it trending.
We've got Drake speaking with Spinner. He's giving Spinner a list of other things that aren't what he wrote down. He dances like a stupid robot, which is true. We've seen it. He likes bad movies. I believe we've seen that too. And he shoots hoops like a girl. I mean, Spinner's not on the basketball team, so I don't know.
There's nothing wrong with shooting hoops like a girl.
Yeah.
It's a little unfortunate look back.
Yeah.
In the times.
So he says, Spinner is like, dude, and Drake's like, oh, also you say dude every third word. Spinner says Drake has a shiny forehead and copies him. And he says that his poppy seed.
That's great.
He says poppy seed bagels get the poppy seeds all in Drake's teeth. Drake says Spinner's shrimp chips stink, which they would. And Spinner says Drake is a bum and he hangs out at his place too much. And Drake says that's because Spinner pees on the toilet seat and his mom doesn't want him over.
That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
That's I like that last one.
Shrimp chips? I mean,
they do scream friendship, the two of them, really. Like, the kind of way, like, guys will just sort of harp on each other. They kind of really come across that way this time.
And then, as Drake is walking away, someone, like, walks up to him and he's like, get out of here! He's like... It's all worked up. So JT and Miss H are still trying to get the guinea pig, and she says, you know, I'll stick around, go home. And he's like, no, I'll stay as well. And so then JT, to the teacher who has done no research, says, actually, she's the one that says to him, it's hopeless. Like,
it's over.
It's going to die. Don't worry.
You know, we got two more guinea pigs. It's all right.
Got Bismarck still, and whatever the fuck the other one is. So he says he's going to dim the lights and play soft music because he's read that guinea pigs like it. And he talks about some of his other research, like they're not pigs, they're not from Guinea. You know, he makes references to like other wordplay, like, oh, a wrestling ring isn't actually a ring because it's a square. So... showing that he's smart, I guess. I don't know. Remember, he spelled Guinea G-I-N-Y.
Yeah. I'm not sure this is information about guinea pigs or giny pigs. Might be confused.
He then asks if he should give up his dreams of vethood, which again, like, so for the last 15 minutes, he's wanted to be a vet, I guess. Like, he's never talked about this before. And she tells him to do whatever he wants. As long as you finish school first and don't die before it happens.
Oh, no.
He then comes up with a pretty slick line, I think. He's like, were you always a science teacher? Never a model?
Yeah, nice.
Slick.
Smooth.
She says teaching is her life, and that's why what he did earlier really hurt her. So when she told him she was upset because he was clowning around when he was smart, I guess she lied.
Now, we do know in the future that this might be true, that teaching is her life, because we sure know that raising her son wasn't her number one priority.
Fuck yes. Oh, wait.
What a fucking adult he is.
Oh, we get to that. That's season 5. I can't, like, I mean, I think we'll get there. We'll see. I fucking hate that guy.
He's not even a good actor, too. That's what bothers me.
Look ahead to season 5 or type in who Miss Hatzilakos' son is, and then you can learn. So, yeah, he's like, what you did earlier really hurt me. And he's like, you lying bitch. That's not what you said earlier. He apologizes again. And at that moment, the guinea pig comes out of her cage. Comes out of the whatever it was hiding in and goes into the cage. They're both happy. They high five. And I guess the big, like, you know, the big tense moment of this episode has been resolved. Yay. Right?
Ew.
It's a weird squeaky noise.
Has been captured. Congratulations.
So the next day, Spinner and Drake agree with each other, and I believe with all of the audience watching, that their honesty pack sucked. Miss Kwan comes in. She's got a pen in her mouth, and she's got ink all over her lips and teeth, which apparently she doesn't notice. Like, are you kidding
me? Or taste.
Yeah, like, she's eating ink.
Like, she swallowed a lot of ink. Like, she should maybe go to the hospital.
You might be getting a little woozy.
Yeah. But apparently she doesn't notice, so she says to Spinner and Drake, is there anything wrong? And they're both, with their shit-eating grins, like, no, Miss Kwan, we're just talking about how stunning you look. I love how it's just open season on telling teachers, like, that they're hot.
Sorry, female teachers, point out.
Yes, yes.
Oh, fuck off, Alan.
It's true, though. Like, it's like...
It is true.
Yeah. Like, oh, you look gorgeous today. Oh, you students.
Like, there's no commenting on
Snake,
male
how good
teachers.
Snake looks.
Right? Well, yeah. It's true, though. It's all female. Like, female teachers are taken advantage of, and they're teased more, and anyways.
I agree. Disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, chew your fucking ice cube, Alan. Chew on that.
So JT tells Miss H that he wasn't actually going to transfer out of her class, which is funny because if you recall, her reaction was, fucking go for it. Like, see ya.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's like, I do not give a shit. That's one less student. Perfect.
She says, well, you should have, because class gets harder from here and there's a pop quiz today. But then she's like, gotcha. So, Sean and Toby come over to JT and ask about his quality time with Miss H. And he's setting the mood. He's like, the lights were dim. Soft music was playing. And then we looked in each other's eyes. We were this close. And then the guinea pig had her babies. And Toby and Sean are like, that's it? And again, it's like, what were you expecting?
What the fuck were you expecting to happen?
Like, it's weird, right? That these children all entertain this idea that something is going to happen with JT and the teacher. Right?
It's so weird.
Like, I would get it if there's teasing, right? Oh, JP and the teacher doing it. Oh, but I think they legitimately are like, so what happened? Tell us.
Did like, Toby's score? Toby's going to explode.
You want the deep.
I think they set a Hot for Teacher video and assumed it was an actual documentary. You think this really happened?
I love that documentary.
They saw it when they were in like grade 5 and they're like, that's what junior high and high school is like. That's so great. And then JT grew up to be a gynecologist.
JT didn't grow up. JT stayed a young boy. You know that.
Yeah.
Forever. Oh,
JT is
ever.
A boy forever. Oh. Like those
he's
guinea
the Peter Pan of the Degrassi.
I was just going to say he's Peter Pan. Oh.
I mean, those guinea pigs may have outlived him. So.
Come on, guys.
It's okay. Miss Hatzlack is named one JT in his honor.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that's the end of the show, by the way. They walk away, JT smiles, and that's the end of the show. Like, that's everybody out there that's like, okay, when does the real stuff happen? That's it. That's the episode.
Yeah, sorry. We weren't building up to anything. That's it.
Yeah. So, thoughts? Anyone?
I get the whole notion of, yeah, lots of episodes, like Tim was saying, but
they don't.
I guess the teachable moment is that, okay, students get the hots for the teachers, but you know, for the most part, it never works out. I guess that was the teachable moment for the
that's
kids.
That's what we learned. You can't actually fuck your teacher.
That's right.
as far as I know, the only like long-term storyline arc that has any advancement in this is Drake and Ashley in the midst of some sort of reconciliation. I think that's literally it.
I was gonna say, and that would be fine if that was the main B plot of the episode and there was something else in front of it, but like two B plots don't make an A plot. Like, I sometimes wonder Like, I don't, yes. I have no background in writing and being in a writer's room, but you can't tell me they put this together and like high fived each other and said, we did it again.
More magic.
The magic, it nope. just keeps Degrassi rolling, guys. Rolling. How Degrassi do we come up with this? I mean, I've pointed this out on a couple of occasions already. It's just like the lack of this, you know, next gen to carry over plot lines. Like there's so many opportunities to carry like somewhat significant plot lines over the course of a few episodes, and they don't. And then they come up with this bullshit episode when it could have easily been filled in by other plot lines that you just decided that start at one, like the beginning of one episode and end at another. Like, I really would be curious to ask the writers, like, why didn't you carry on with how the original went and like have these storylines play out over a couple of different episodes?
Yeah, like we said before, there was a couple, you could have milked a couple episodes out of the whole lead up to the Spike Snake wedding, right? So they could have, instead of having this, they could have threw one of these B plots on that and have an episode about that, right?
Yeah, like you could have had the drama play out about the baby and the wedding up in the air, and then that could have been the end of the episode, and then this episode could have, there's so many ways that this could have been made more interesting. There is a really stark contrast to how, you know, young female, male teacher storylines were played out versus male student, female teacher. Like, it's, one's a joke, and then the other one always ends in, like, turmoil.
Well, and also, like, only guy teachers are the predators, right?
That's, I mean... Yeah, and I'm... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's always like, against it's the guys. Like, it's really hard to be a guy.
I'm really sorry for you, Alan. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Just saying.
And it's not my favorite thing to make that point, but... It's kind of true, right? Like, it's made to be a joke when a boy student has a crush on a female teacher, but anytime a girl student has a crush on a male teacher, it's always horrible and horrific and awful.
Well, and again, like, making jokes with fucking mastodons gets you a week of detention, but putting fake tits in your shirt and pretending you're the actual teacher and rubbing a student's head in your boobs gets nothing.
There's so many different ways to do it. I'm still stuck on his analytical. It's such an analytical thought of there's different way to pretend you have boobs. You guys have been discussing this, and I'm sitting here going, like, he really listed them off. Like, he's like, well, why didn't you just do this? It's like, there was a lot of good thought put into that, Alan.
I was trying to think about when you meant, like, nipples. Like, do you mean, like, you grabbed your t-shirt and pinched them and pulled them out?
Yeah, you pull them out by the chest and you're like, here's my boobs. Like, that's exactly how you say it too. You're like, the boys. I have boobies. Like, that's how you did it. You know?
I didn't realize my school crush is back out here again.
Hey!
No.
I have boobs now, sexy teacher.
Can I sign up for your master class on YouTube with
Please do.
I could bring you guys in as a guest speaker someday. You guys could lead a sexuality class or something for health.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to lose your job, then yeah, let's do it. Sounds good to me.
I think that's a great idea.
All right. Well, I will say this. Things pick up in the next episode, I think. Both in terms of, like, plot line, things that are amusing, and as well as show inconsistencies, which start to really, really kind of pop out.
Which is basically, it's a theme of this show generally.
Yeah, there's going to be a few things, I think, in the next episode where you're going to be like, what? Like, that's not what we've been doing all season. But anyways, we're going to talk about Message in a Bottle. And Sean, if you haven't noticed over the last two seasons, he apparently drinks a lot. So we'll see.
Nothing wrong with that, Sean.
Yeah, we've been setting it up. He is one of us.
Not one of you.
No. All right. Anyways, so Tim, thanks for joining us again. And
If I could, I would just like to plug If anyone's looking to sell their house in Winnipeg, visit rodineversleeps.com.
Please do. Please do. Mm-hmm. I should have asked before we end this episode, Barry or Tim, were there any poems, any songs?
Where's the battle here?
Unfortunately, no. But I will say, Barry, I've been listening to your podcast, and I have been enjoying your podcast when I get a chance to listen to it.
Oh, thank you very much.
What podcast is that,
Barry? I really like the episode where you guys talked about like the ghost rat ship and stuff like that. One of the early ones. Yeah. I have been trying to scribble down something while we've been talking for the next episode. So I might have something for when we come back.
Okay.
I'll have to freelance it if it's going to be a rap battle. So we'll see. At Some Weird Podcast, if you're interested in what Tim just discussed, it's a podcast where we discuss folklore, urban legends, ghost stories, and that. One season was about Newfoundland. The next season that we're currently in is about all of Canada. Yukon is, we just released an episode about PEI, and we will be doing the Yukon releasing, I believe, a week from Monday. Monday being, I'm trying to do the math on the dates, so the 17th, the 24th of May, 2021.
Nice.
Yes. Also, if you want to find out what the difference between a province and a territory is, I learned from that podcast.
That's right.
So you have to tune in.
It's also educational.
Oh, I just wanted to, like, there's lots of great reviews for Barry's Some Weird Podcast, so I just encourage everybody to check it out. And then I just wanted to ask you guys about trivia. All my Facebook memories these days are me plugging your trivia from last year. And it made me wonder, I'm like, when are we getting our next trivia?
Nothing planned yet. I would suspect maybe in June sometime, early-ish June 2021, I would think.
Okay.
No, it's not set up yet, but yeah.
You're making us wait. All right, fair enough.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, when is it going to go away from social distancing trivia and be in person with friends trivia?
I don't know. That's the big question.
Yeah. I mean, if
Barry's holding out on getting vaccinated.
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, the whole thing.
My anti-vaccination stance is kind of holding us back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Once the unwashed masses get a little more washed.
Yeah, that's right. Scrub-a-dub-dub.
All right. Well, with that being said, we will see you in a few days with Message in the Bottle. So, peace.
See you.
Bye.
Well, I guess that I don't get my love. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about Kylan. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe I would.
I would walk with them and got naked just to get caught my dreams. Everyone thinks